Welcome to the Take Six Podcast.
Hello. Hello, hello, hello. Once again, thank you for listening to another episode of the Take Six Podcast. Hunter Surplus here. And we've got, as always, good friend Callum Wise. How's it going?
It's going pretty good, buddy. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I've been sitting in the sun for 2 days now straight. And yeah, Dominican sun is way better than Toronto sun any day of the week. I'm happy that you're there holding down the fort in the six for us. Cal, you're doing a good job at that, as always. So we're recording this on Sunday, February 17th. It is the Sunday of All-Star Weekend. It's, you know, we had the dunk contest and three-point and skills last night. And then Friday we had the Rising Stars Challenge. And I always find the Rising Stars Challenge to be pretty fun. The dunk contest this year kind of sucked. Three-point contest was meh. Like, obviously there were some times where some of these guys catch fire, and that's a lot of fun. But, I mean, it's still kind of boring to watch some of these guys just shoot three-pointers, right? Like, I thought that was kind of annoying. And then the skills challenge, obviously it was a cool way to end with Jason Tatum making that half-court heave to win it. But, like, you shouldn't be able to win a competition based on a half-court heave when it's a skills competition, right? Like, that was, I guarantee you, if he got five more shots of that exact same, like, that exact same shot, he wouldn't have made it. So I don't think that's really a good representation of how the skills competition works. He missed his passes. Who was in the finals with him again? I totally forget. Was it Trae Young? Trae Young made his pass right away. So, I mean, it kind of sucks that the three-pointer is the reason to that he, you know, won that and the half-court heave. But very exciting ending. It was probably the most exciting part of the night last night, other than that Hamidou Diallo dunk over Shaq, which was absolutely absurd. Any highlights that you could point out from that yesterday at all, or?
There was a couple for me. I mean, Dirk not coming last was pretty hilarious. Like, he beat out, I think it was Kemba, Dame, and one other person. Doesn't even matter. You shouldn't be fucking losing to Dirk, who's 41 years old. Like, come on. What are you doing?
Yeah,
you're all supposed to be shooters. You're not supposed to be losing. I mean, Dirk is one of the greatest shooters of all time, but that was 5 years ago. This is Dirk in his retirement year. Just coming back, actually, which is crazy. This was like his legacy run, pretty much, of doing the three-point contest. And yeah, same with the All-Star game. That's why he's in the All-Star game.
I agree. I think it was pretty funny seeing him hobble between racks. Like, I'm surprised he didn't have a walker out there or something to get him from rack to rack. But, you know, he actually did look kind of decent. His shot's always been good. I didn't expect him to win by any stretch of the imagination. I don't think anybody did, really. But it would have been nice to see him win. And obviously, it was nice to see him participate in the dunk contest once again. I mean, the three-point contest once again. That would have been a sight, eh? Dirk in the dunk contest.
Couldn't even make it up there.
Yeah, exactly. I think so. I don't know. But so I guess...
There's one other one. It was the fact that Danny Green did so well. He was one spot out of going to the championship round. And then, of course, Steph had to go insane. Hit 27. Last 10 of his shots, which was pretty crazy, if I do say so. But Danny definitely showed up, especially after previous years where Kyle Lowry is just the worst shooter out there. Which is kind of embarrassing for Raptors fans, just because he was wearing the jersey and then he's just missing all of his shots. But Danny hit 21, I want to say. 21 or 23?
Yeah.
23, it was 23. He was tied with somebody, Devin Booker. But yeah, it was very pleasing to see him out there doing so well.
Yeah, I like that as well. He did a very good job of obviously hitting threes. That's kind of what he does. And I think, you know, it bodes a good sign for the Raptors, because our three-point shooting hasn't been fantastic outside of Danny Green. Hopefully he can get in the gym and help some of these younger guys like OG and, you know, Fred VanVleet when he's not injured, to kind of get in and start hitting these shots better. Maybe these guys get a little bit of inspiration from the somewhat old man doing so well in the 3-point contest. So I think that's enough. I think that's enough of the BS that has happened so far. We haven't seen the All-Star game yet. That's happening tonight, which I'm excited about. The All-Star game is always fun. I think they should do. I just said that we're gonna move on from the All-Star game, but one thing here. I think they should make the dunk contest, since it was so disappointing last night. They should just make the dunk contest the All-Star game. Like, the All-Star game should just get like the best dunk. You're the dunk contest winner. That's it. I think that would. I mean, there'd be less defense being played, but I don't think that's really possible anyways. So anyways, let's move on to the Raptors. All-Star game, doesn't matter. Who cares? I think the two biggest topics since we last recorded, which was our kind of trade deadline talk, which was the basically Gasol podcast, has been Gasol's first few games, Jeremy Lin being acquired by the Raptors, Fred VanVleet going down as an injury, and the Siakam career high. So I think we're gonna chop all those up into a few topics there, and then I think we're gonna start with Gasol, his first few games as a Raptor. Callum, like, are you liking this guy? Because I'm very fond of Gasol playing as a Raptor. What do you think?
Oh yeah, I mean, not much to complain about. Obviously, him coming off the bench was kind of expectable, just because he needs to get used to all the plays from the team first, and then eventually he'll be a starter, obviously. But yeah, nothing but good things from Gasol, and yeah, going into the future, obviously we're gonna need him just because of how stacked these teams are getting now. So it's pretty good to see that we got a very good big man now.
Yeah, and I think he's fit in so seamlessly with the team, which is my favorite part about it. Like, watching this guy, we've never really had a big man who can space the floor. Like, we always kind of thought Ibaka was that. We've never really had, like, since Chris Bosh, I can't really remember anyone. Like, Andrea Bargnani, maybe. But, like, I think, like, with this quality of defense and passing ability and shooting, like, Gasol might be one of the better big men that – well, not might be. He is definitely one of the better big men that the Raptors have ever had. And he fits so seamlessly. Usually when you get a big name and like a quote-unquote star, which Gasol isn't really right now, but a quote-unquote star, it's hard for them to fit into a system that's already being run around multiple other players. But I think the way that Gasol plays and his passing and his shooting and the way he finishes and the way that he's able to kind of create offense for everyone else is helpful in the fact that he doesn't need to fit into the system, because the system can kind of either fit around him, or you can just plop him in somewhere and he'll just make the right decisions because of his basketball IQ and because of how smart he really is. And all of that stuff combined, like the passing, the shooting, the finishing, the defense, it's much more than what JV could have done for us. Like, obviously last year JV kind of went on a tear shooting 3-pointers, and by tear I mean he hit like 30 something percent, which is all right, but it adds shooting, it adds an element of spacing the floor. People have to worry now about Gasol as a passer, a mid-range threat, a 3-point shooter, which you didn't really have to do when JV was on the team. And I think it'll be a huge advantage to have this guy when that inevitable playoff Ibaka comes into full effect by the second round, when Ibaka's kind of shooting 0 of 15 or something like that with no rebounds. So I think it'll be a good advantage to have a guy like Gasol who you can run the ball through, and especially late in games, you can run the ball through, you know, three or four different guys that are on the court, whether that's Kawhi, Kyle Lowry, Danny Green even, Fred VanVleet when he is healthy, and Marc Gasol, who is a fantastic ball handler. And I'm shocked because, like, I've always been able to, like, watch a few Gasol games, but I never got into the whole, like, Grizzlies grit and grind kind of slow pace and all that kind of stuff. But now watching it live, like, he is a beautiful basketball player. And I think, like, I'm really starting to appreciate the whole European basketball with this guy, because it's so much good passing. Like that no look pass back to McCaw from the baseline. I forget who that was against, but that nice little no look pass he got right off the inbound play. One of the most beautiful plays I've seen the Raptors play. Like a two-man play there. So I really like Gasol as a Raptor. He's been doing fantastic. And I'm happy that he's happy to be here, right? I think that's a very important part as well of this whole thing is that he's excited to be playing for a good team and a team that could potentially be contending for a championship. And that excitement is probably going to get more out of him than just like a good teammate or a good chemistry would, because obviously, when you're more excited to play for a good team, and when you've gone from a bad team in the Memphis Grizzlies to this good of a team in Toronto, I think there's a little bit of excitement there that will push you a little further. And you know, once he gets back to playing playoff basketball, I'm sure it's going to be the exact same way. And he's going to continue to ride this high for probably until the end of the season and hopefully into next season if he picks up his player option. And then, you know what, I think we can talk about Jeremy Lin here now. I think that's enough. We did a lot of talking on our last podcast about Gasol, so I think we can do a little bit more about Jeremy Lin today. The Raptors picked him up on the buyout market after being waived by the Hawks. Jeremy Lin is beloved in Toronto. I was kind of shocked that he got more of a reaction from the crowd when he first came in than Gasol did. You know what I mean? Funny. Like, they gave him the biggest standing ovation from, like, any player that has not been a Raptor coming onto the team. Like, even I don't even think Kawhi got that big of an applause when he came out in his first game in Toronto, which was kind of shocking to me. But the good thing about Lin is that he's a good ball handler and finisher, which can take pressure off of Lowry and Fred VanVleet, which I think is good for the playoff scenario and for like Lowry's not necessarily health, but his workload and all that kind of stuff. So I think it's good for those two to kind of take some pressure off them and allow another ball handler to come in, because Jeremy Lin is a very good player. You know what I mean? Like, Jeremy Lin has been very good.
People forget how good he was.
I know, like Linsanity, that one buzzer beater right over Jose Calderon's head was fantastic. That was like one of the best things that I've ever seen as a Raptor fan when a guy is not on the Raptors. What do you see Lin adding to this team, Cal?
I mean, like you said, he's a very good ball handler, and the fact that obviously Fred VanVleet is injured currently means that he's going to have a lot of playing time to get used to this Raptor squad. Like, I don't know if you saw, but people were like praising his first start where he went 8-5-5. I'm pretty sure. And he's like, yeah, and that was after only knowing three plays. I was like, Jesus, this guy only had three plays going into a game. Like, that's pretty insane. So yeah, like, just over time, he's going to get better, just getting used to the plays. And I don't know, like, Fred hasn't been there this year for me. And even when he's had good games, but he's so sporadic. Like, I feel that Jeremy Lin could easily take his role going into the playoffs, because like, it's obviously not time to play favorites, because we want to win a championship here, and that's what we're trying to do. So if he's playing better than Fred VanVleet, give him that secondary role. And obviously if Fred wants to keep that job, he's going to have to like start playing a lot more consistent, because from the games we've seen Jeremy Lin play, like, he's comfortable in Toronto. He likes it here. And I'm pretty sure he wants to stay here. It's like the same thing. You want to play for a good team. He was on the Hawks. The Hawks are trash. They are very bad. And I don't know. Maybe it was Vince Carter like talking in his ear. He's like, yo, like, if you go to Toronto, you're going to love it there. He'd probably be like, yeah, I'm trying to go there after this season as well. The Hawks are butt. So, I mean, I don't see any downside really to Jeremy Lin playing. Just like, we picked him up as a free agent, so we're not paying him a huge amount of money, which is pretty great, because I think the only reason that he kind of fell off was he got injured a lot, like a lot. Like, he was out all last year, I'm pretty sure, with a knee injury. Yeah. I really like this trade. because he's a great bench player, and that's what we needed. That's kind of like we dropped our entire bench going into the free agency. And he's a good pickup. I don't think it's going to stop there. I'm pretty sure Messiah is going to try and get somebody else, maybe, just because the bench is still looking kind of empty, even though we picked up Jeremy Lin. Because we, how many people we drop? Six?
Was it that many? I don't think it was that many.
It must have been five. It was DeLon Wright, JV, Moose, Malachi Wilson, Lorenzo Brown, right? Or did we pick him back up?
No, we didn't. Yeah, so you might be right. It might be six. Because we also got rid of Miles in that trade too.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So either five or six.
So I like this whole dealing by Masai. Well, I'll talk about this one real quick and then I'll go back into Lin and Fred VanVleet. But I like that by Masai because I think he's realizing more and more now that the bench, or at least the depth past player like nine, isn't all that important when it comes to playoff scenarios. Like, it doesn't matter whether your ninth player or your 10th player is Patrick McCaw or Lorenzo Brown or Moose Monroe or CJ Miles or DeLon Wright. Like, realistically, they were just taking up a cap space, or I guess luxury tax cap space, and playing, like, they weren't getting the best out of these guys anyways. So why make them go through what they need? You know what I mean? Like, it's just, you weren't getting the best out of these guys anyway, so you might as well take someone who has been more comfortable in that role. Like, obviously, DeLon Wright and CJ Miles have never really been those star starters, but taking a guy like Jeremy Lin, who will get better minutes probably than DeLon Wright did, and will be a little bit more impactful in terms of our team, I think it's a really good way to get around luxury cap and try to make the team better for the playoffs. So going back to what you said about VanVleet and Jeremy Lin, I think that obviously it's never a good time for someone to get injured, right? So Fred VanVleet's out for around 5 weeks, they're saying, with his injury. And Jeremy Lin was just brought in, right? And I think that, I don't think it's a coincidence. I think they were going for him anyways. But I think that the timing was not coincidental for the buyout, for the Hawks to buy him out and for the Raptors to pick him up, because Fred VanVleet's injured. They probably heard about it and they're like, oh man, we should probably get Lin right now instead of waiting a week or two or something like that to kind of get him acclimated to the team. But I think that it's a good time for Fred VanVleet to maybe have gotten injured or to have rested, because now we can get a really good look at Jeremy Lin and what he can be. And then if he performs well, that'll put a lot of, not pressure, but it'll have a good competition, I think. I think it'll have a good effect competition-wise between Fred VanVleet and Jeremy Lin. And with these guys who have made it to the NBA, a lot of the time they thrive on this type of competition, on battling with another guy and trying to see who's the better player, all this kind of stuff. So I think this is going to be a good thing for both Jeremy Lin and Fred VanVleet to be battling that out. And I don't think DeLon Wright was necessarily the competition that Fred VanVleet had or needed, because DeLon Wright wasn't used in the same way as Fred VanVleet, right? So Jeremy Lin, I think, is more of the same type of player that Fred VanVleet is, which will, you know, hey, maybe Jeremy Lin's going to get more minutes after Fred VanVleet comes back. But I don't think that ever was going to happen with DeLon Wright, just based on how the Raptors play and the way that they do many different things. And then just going back to the fact like that these guys are happy to be here and stuff like that, I want to say one thing about both Gasol and Jeremy Lin, is that both guys, like we were talking about playoffs a little bit there, both guys can go off at any moment to help us win a game, right? Like Jeremy Lin, realistically, Jeremy Lin could go for like a 25-point night if Lowry's off, or if VanVleet's off, or if Kawhi's not having the best game, Danny Green, whatever it might be. And he could potentially win us a game by going off for 25, 6, and 4, or whatever it would be, which would be outstanding. And I think Gasol could also do that. And he already did show a little moment like that, where he had that little four-minute stretch with the three-pointer, the beautiful pass, the little hook shot. And both of these guys are great additions in that sense, because we only, up until this point, getting Gasol and Lin, we only really had Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green and Lowry and Siakam to kind of take over games. And none of them could really do it at the same time while another player was going off, because whether it's Kawhi with the ball stopper or Kyle Lowry kind of just jacking up shots whenever he needs to, and Danny Green getting hot only when people get him, you know, a little catch and shoot three-pointer, and Siakam also kind of being a ball stopper when it comes to, like, running the plays. So I think Jeremy Lin and Gasol, whether it's coming off the bench or, you know, just not playing at the same time as a Kawhi or as a Lowry, will be able to dominate a game and potentially just put us over that edge if, say, Kawhi's having a bad game or Lowry or whatever it might be, and they'll be able to put us over that edge to get past whatever team we're playing in the playoffs. And I think that's an underrated part of this addition, is that these guys can go off and they can help win us a game pretty much by themselves, whether it's defensively or on the offensive end. And that's what I like most about these two guys to add to this Raptors team. And then lastly, I think let's just talk quickly about Siakam's career high 44 points against the Washington Wizards. Callum Wise, you and I both have Pascal Siakam jerseys. Right now, I think he's probably my favorite player on the Raptors. And I don't know about you, but I think he's got a lock for the most improved player award, my man. What do you think? So, first of all, this is going to be my first question. Do you think he's going to set another career high by the end of this season? He's already set 7 so far this year. Do you think he sets another one?
See, before, I definitely thought that he could, just because, I mean, what was his career high going into the season? 24, 20? It was a low 20 number.
I think it was like 22 or 23.
Yeah. And then, like, obviously, like, he gradually kept on getting better. But that 44-point night was just, like, I think he could definitely get another 40-point game, but, like, he was shooting amazing. But also, we have to take it, I love Siakam. Like you said, we both have Siakam jerseys. But that night, there was nobody playing, I'm pretty sure. Like, was Kawhi playing that night?
No.
Yeah, okay. So, our star, like, player wasn't playing, and he got hot at the, like, just gradually throughout the game. So, I'm pretty sure Nurse was just like, yeah, just keep giving Siakam the ball, let him shoot. And that's what happened. Like, he got 44 points, which is amazing. I don't think that's going to happen again going into the rest of the season, unless we have another one of those games where no one's really playing and they're just like, yeah, just give Siakam the ball. And then he might go for 40 again. But I don't think he's going to get higher than 44 points. Obviously, I could be wrong, but that's just me. I don't think he's going to pass that 44-point mark this season. I definitely think he has the potential to be a 50-point player, just because I could guarantee you that nobody thought that Siakam was going to get 44 points this year. So I also do think that he's in the running for most improved player, because there's not many other players in the league who...
I don't even think it's close.
Yeah, like...
I think it's Siakam, and... If Siakam doesn't win it, if Siakam doesn't win MIP, he wins MVP. I think that's what it's going to be. He's just going to close out the year with 50 points a night, some Will Chamberlain level stuff, and he wins MVP. If that's the only way he doesn't win MIP. And even if that happens, he still wins Most Improved Player. Even if he sits out the rest of the season, he wins Most Improved Player. Yeah. I think it's already there. So many people already kind of have it as a lock. Like, Zach Lowe has it as a lock. Pretty much everyone on the Ringer NBA staff.
I think it's him and Middleton on the Bucks, because Middleton is playing out of his brain right now.
Yeah. But the thing is Middleton is playing really well, but he had a better statistical season last year in terms of, like, points and stuff like that. It's just like his 3-point and field goal percentage has gone way up, and his usage has gone down, which is so, like, I think, and that's the thing, right? Like, it's, yeah, like, the other guy who's kind of in the race for it is still so much, not like, he's not worse of a player, but in terms of improvements made, like, it's not even close. I can't remember the last guy who has improved this much over one season, right? Like, It's insane. It's absolutely Nkumbo. Insane.
Ted Nkumbo, the guy we've been comparing Siakam to.
It's been very gradual. Like, I don't think it's – like, he's been getting better every year. Like, last year, Siakam was basically a role player. This year, he still is a role player, but he's probably the best role player in the league as of right now. Like, it's hard to – like, it's obviously, like, he's the third or fourth option on the team, but, you know, he's the second – he's the second in points on the Raptors, man. He just surpassed Ibaka. He's the second in points on the second best team in the league. It's nuts. It's absolutely nuts. And so I kind of have a little hot take here that I want to make just quickly before we round this out. But I think that there might be an argument to be made that Pascal Siakam has been the Raptors' best player this season. Not in terms of, like, talent-wise, although he... You know, you could probably make that argument in some games, but not necessarily talent-wise, but because of his consistency, right? And I think that's what makes a very great player. Their consistency, their, you know, a lot of people say the best ability is availability, right? He doesn't miss games. He's always hustling. He's always playing really hard. But I think it's that consistency that kind of makes him as great as he is, because when was the last time this season where you've been like, oh man, like if Pascal Siakam played better, we would have won?
Never.
Right? Never. I haven't thought of that one time this entire season. And I think that shows, once again, back to the most improved player thing, is all the inconsistencies that were there last year, whether it's him not having a good rebounding game or not having a good shooting game or whatever it might have been, he has kind of put that in his back pocket and he's run away from that. All he's doing right now is playing well, and whether he only puts up, whether it's, you know, a 12-point game or whatever it might be, or and he'll still put up 8 rebounds, 11 rebounds, 4 assists, but then there's those games like he had against Washington where he puts up 44 points, and obviously that's the inconsistency. The inconsistency is him playing better, right? And I love that for what he is. And obviously, Kawhi Leonard is the best player on the Raptors, right? He is the most talented defensively, offensively, anything like that. He's the best player. But he's missed a lot of games. There's been a few games where he has not played very well. And the end of games, he doesn't play very well sometimes, except for that buzzer beater.
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't play very well. Kyle Lowry, he had that stretch of, you know, 8 or 9 games where he was just horrendous. And he's missed not a lot of games, but he's missed a few games this season. And after that, I think it's basically Siakam's next in line, right? So in terms of consistency and availability, I think that there is an argument to be made that Pascal Siakam has been the Raptors' best player this season. Yeah, is that absurd to think?
I don't even think it's an argument, man. Like, he's been consistent, like you've been saying. He's been so consistent throughout this whole year. And the only thing that's inconsistent is the fact that he keeps setting new career highs in points. I'm pretty sure didn't Kawhi set his career high this year, right?
Yeah.
At what? What was? Oh, I'm trying to remember.
40s. Like, the career high was 44 before, and then when he got to 45, it.
Yeah. Like, high. So I think it was like that's Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah.
Siakam just almost passed that in his third year. That's crazy. And he's being compared, like, to being a Kawhi-style player, which he is. Like, he's a very, very athletic player. So he could become an amazing defensive player. And the fact that he can just go off and just score this amount of points he doesn't have a better mentor other than Kawhi Leonard at this point. Like, he can learn so much from him. And apparently it's working, because I don't know if it's just Kawhi, but he is just playing out of his mind this season. And he is, like you said, that thing where you're just like, if Siakam played better, we would have won in that game. That has never been in our minds ever this season. That has never come across my brain at one point. It's just been, man, Siakam did well tonight.
Yeah, it's like, oh man, we might have lost by 10, but shit, at least Siakam had 24. Like, you know what I mean? So I like, and that's exactly what it is, dude. It's the argument is there, and I think people should be talking about it more, because yeah, this obviously the team runs through Kawhi, and obviously the team runs through Kyle Lowry, but Siakam's right there, man. Siakam, and people have – he's got the best – I think he has the best signature move in the game with that spin move.
Spicy!
That's what I'm, that's what I'm saying, though. That little – you know, he's pressing circle on the PS4 controller. Spin move.
But he's mashing that just – bah, 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 bah.
That's it, man. And, like, I genuinely think he's got – like, that might be the best signature move. Like, obviously there's the hardened step back travel – and there's the Luka Doncic step back, which is good, but I don't know, man.
That spin move is so, like, it's so good.
He's going full speed. He's going full speed, and he's doing a spin move like that. If I ever tried to do a spin move going that fast, I would fall on my ass.
The ball would be in the stands. That ball is not in my hands anymore.
Buddy, the ball's going to go as far in the stands as it did off Kawhi's foot against Detroit. Bang! He's like Dwight Schrute getting into the office. Ah, spin move. Ah, spin move. It's unreal, man. I love Pascal Siakam, and I'm just happy that you know what? Speaking of Pascal Siakam, I've literally counted 3 Pascal Siakam jerseys here on the resort that I'm at right now. 3 right. Separate Pascal Siakam jerseys on 3 different people.
Well, I'd like to say that me and Hunter started that trend. I don't care what anyone says. It was me and Hunter. We started the Siakam trend.
I would say so, man. I would say so. All right, Cal. I think that's it. I'm gonna go back out into the sun by the beach, my guy. You hold it down in that cold city of Toronto for me, please. And you know what? Enjoy the rest of your reading week. Don't study too hard. And I think we'll get back into this probably for a Leafs and or Raptors podcast in the upcoming week. So, guys, go to take6.org, give us a subscribe, go to Apple Podcasts and Spotify and do the same there. Subscribe, give us a rating and review. And also you can follow us on Instagram and or Twitter at take6podcast. Just search for us. You'll be able to find us, and I don't think that you'll regret it, or you at least you shouldn't. So, guys, everyone have a good day. Callum, was fantastic talking to you, buddy.
You too.